So, earthquakes in the middle of the United States and up the East Coast. And prophecies just marching right on. And I wonder who's looking up and asking, what does this mean? He said, when you see these things come to pass, look up. Because your answer's not down here, and your answer's not going to be around in the rubble, but your answer's always going to be up. And this is a wonderful day to come to God and to understand the things of God. This world is about to shake so that everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. And that includes living things and inanimate objects. And it's a day to be right with God. Sometimes it's difficult to make those first steps, to start a different direction, or to even imagine that you can live another life than that you're living right now. But I'm telling you, God already has a way made before you. He's already prepared everything that you'll need. He did that from the foundation of the earth. It's always been there. And all he needs from you is just a yes, just an amen, just for you to begin to take a step in the right direction. And God will begin to help you along the way. Is there a witness in the house? Can you look back over your back trail and can you see where God organized it and arranged it and ordered your steps as you made your way into the kingdom of God? He's a wonderful God. He does great, great work. This morning we're going to bound over Acts chapter 18, and we're going to work a little bit in Acts chapter 19. We'll come back to chapter 18 tonight. I felt just a very specific direction for this service this morning, and I almost feel apologetic for the simplicity of the word this morning, because it's just simply going to be two very simple questions that Paul asked and Acts chapter 19. But feel really good about the prospect of following after a nudge in the Holy Ghost. Always do. Praise God. Acts chapter 19, and we'll just start with verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, everyone say certain disciples. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And that was the first simple question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Verse 3, and he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And that was the second simple question. Unto what were you baptized? How were you baptized? And they said, like John, speaking of John the Baptist, like John taught to baptize. And then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all of the men were about 12. God bless you. You can be seated. And as you are, lift up your voice, clap your hands, give God some praise for his word that never changes. For his word that's forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God, and we bless your name, and we thank you, and we lift you up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, do you love what God's doing in your life right now? I know some of you are. Brother, somebody told me, Brother Jamie and Sister Maria can't quit smiling. So they're loving what God's doing in their life right now. Yeah, that's right. And it's evident to everybody. Praise God. What a day. What a great day. The Middle East is on fire. Those are the children of Abraham. And the word of God just keeps moving inexorably in our world. It's amazing to me today that everybody is not already living for God. It's amazing to me that anybody out there is still not obeying and following after the word of God. It's just amazing to me. Iran and Russia are in a union just exactly like Ezekiel said they would be. The earthquakes and the natural signs are happening just like the Gospels forecasted and said that they would be. And Israel is in the land and she's back and she's been gone for 2,000 years. But the word of God said she'd be coming back. And lo and behold, here she is in our day. And that is the way it is with everything prophetic in the word of God. Now, the thing that is crucial for you to understand is that the same word of God that prophesied all of those things gave you those things so that you could understand that this word is true and that you can depend upon it and stand upon it and build your life upon it. That prophecy coming to pass is a sign unto you that God knows where you're living and has an answer for you regarding everything in your life right now. This prophecy that's coming to pass is also in junction with a prophecy that says that he's coming back and he's going to take a church out of this earth. And so we know all these things to be true and to be verified by the word of God. This is not a mindless faith, but this is an intelligent faith that we're involved in this morning. Acts chapter 19. And Paul has just founded the churches in Corinth in chapter 18, and he's making his way through the upper coast, and he comes to a place called Ephesus, which is directly across a small channel of the sea there on the northern Mediterranean, and it's directly across the sea from Corinth. And he has made his way to Ephesus, and as is his custom, he's going to go to the synagogue. But before he does, he finds some people that the Bible calls disciples. And as the story unfolds, we find out that there a man has been there by the name of Apollos. And Apollos is a very eloquent speaker and he's very powerful in the word of God, but he doesn't know the gospel. All he knows is John's message. All he knows is repent and be baptized to have your sins remitted. That's all John knew. And that's what John taught. And John preached about the one that was to come after. He said, I'm baptizing you with water, but one is coming after me who's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And he's talking about Jesus Christ. And John was the one who introduced Jesus to the crowds there on the banks of the Jordan River. And so now this man, Apollos, is in the area of Ephesus and he's preaching and he's so very powerful that a lot of people come and they get baptized by Apollos unto John's baptism. And they're energized and they're excited and they expect a renewal of things having to do with the kingdom of God. We don't have much of a caricature on them. We don't have much information about them at all. But this is how Paul finds them. He finds them freshly baptized. He finds them excited and energized, but they don't know the full gospel. Everybody say the full gospel. Praise God. You know, now you can drive around Birmingham and you'll find full gospel churches all over this city. Those didn't exist in 1960 or in the 60s. They didn't exist almost around 1970. And the reason was is that all you had was your standard denominations, Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and Catholics and all your denominations. But something powerful began to happen at the end of the 1960s. You had a nation that was in convulsion. You had a world that was in turmoil. Israel had come back to the land and there was a shaking that always comes when prophecy is being fulfilled. And lo and behold, in tandem with that prophetic fulfillment, there was this tremendous outpouring of the Holy Ghost all over the world. And it began here in the United States. It began in the Roman Catholic Church. What we now call the charismatic renewal began in the Roman Catholic Church. And it began to spill out. And people in Baptist churches started receiving something they had never known about before. And people in Methodist churches started finding something they had never found before. So much so that now now, 50 years later, the United Methodists have a piece of fire on their logo. They've got a Holy Ghost emblem on their logo. They used to not have that, but they've got that now because they started having an impression and a powerful experience in the Holy Ghost in their organization. This started happening all over America and literally all over the world in all of these previously non-spirit-filled organizations. And it turned the whole religious world upside down. And so you begin to get non-denominational churches and full gospel churches and charismatic churches. And none of those had existed back in the 60s and early 70s. But what caused that was the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and new information that heretofore these people hadn't had, but now they did. Now they're being filled with the Holy Ghost and they've got to find some way to live with that, something to do with that. How does this affect our lives and what does it mean for who we were before and who we're going to be in the months and the years to come? They had a lot of questions to answer and a lot of life to renegotiate or renavigate, and they sprung up and they're all over the city now. You can find the evidence of that massive outpouring of the Holy Ghost everywhere. These people at Ephesus were in a similar condition. They were baptized and they were believers. The writer here calls them disciples, but they didn't know about the full gospel. They didn't know about everything that God had for them. And so the first thing Paul asked them when he finds them is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He said, did you receive the Holy, the NIV says, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? Now, I don't know what your theological background is, and I don't know what you've been taught or where you've come from, but I want you to understand that these people didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. And Paul was asking a question that was out of his theological frame. He asked a question that said, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed, or have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And implicit in his question is this fact, that Paul didn't believe that just being a believer made you full of the Holy Ghost. Now, that's an important fact. I was raised in a Southern Baptist church all my life. And no, I don't mind using names and titles. They've got the sign right out in the open. That's what they were. That's what I was. And I'm just talking about them. This is objective. This is not stone throwing and it's not hateful. It's not anything negative. This is very, very positive because I want them all to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want them all to receive what God has available for them. My wife was raised Presbyterian, and I was raised Southern Baptist. And we both were taught from the time we were little that when you invited Jesus into your heart, or when you made a cognitive decision to believe that Jesus was the Savior, that then silently, mysteriously, miraculously, you were filled with the Spirit. Nobody talked about it much. Nobody had a lot to say about it. They simply said, you got it when you believed. Every believer has the Holy Ghost. But lo and behold, what do we find in Acts chapter 19? That not every believer has the Holy Ghost. Why is that? Well, it's just very simple. That belief is a singular, distinct, defined experience. Repentance is a distinct, defined experience. Water baptism is a distinct, defined experience. When you believed, you didn't get baptized. I mean, it didn't just happen mysteriously, miraculously, just kind of happen. No, you had to go and do something about that. Receiving the Holy Ghost is very elementary. It's the very same thing. You have to go and do something about that. He said, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? They said, we didn't know there was one. And then he's very puzzled. He's puzzled because you got to understand, these are the first few years of the church. And most all the church up through the corridors around the Mediterranean were started by either Paul and Silas or Paul and Barnabas. And Paul, he feels a connection with every disciple in all of those cities. He's now on his third missionary trip, and he's gone through and he's confirmed the churches in all of these cities. And so he just by nature thinks that if you're a believer, you just probably have the Holy Ghost because that's the way he taught it. He taught people to repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and receive the Holy Ghost. He wasn't aware of a lot of other things going on that were not either Judaism, paganism, or the church. And so when he meets these people, he's very curious. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And when they said no, he said, well, how are you baptized? That's the second simple question. How are you baptized? And they said, well, like John baptized. That's how we were baptized. And I don't know if they got into the story about Apollos and explained all of that or not. But they said, we were baptized just like John the Baptist was baptizing. And he said, ah, well, that's it. John was teaching about Jesus and that those that came should believe on the one that would follow after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And the Bible said, when they heard this, they were baptized in Jesus' name. When they heard this, they went down in the water in Jesus' name. Now, this is very simple. I understand how simple this is. But I also understand how exactly in the middle of the will of God we are in this service this morning. Okay? The question was, how are you baptized? And they said, well, like John. He said, well, that was for then. This is for now. You see, John's baptism was for the Jews, so that they could wake up and repent and prepare their hearts for the Messiah. John's baptism was kind of like Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark was great for the day of Noah. But today, building an ark wouldn't do you any good at all, other than you'd have a really fine boat. But it wouldn't do you any good in regard to being right with God. And when God returns, being in a wooden boat is not going to help you be right with God. And later on, and previous to that, and during that time, and later on, also part of coming to God involved killing animals on an altar, burning the body of the animal, sprinkling the blood. Well, that was for then. That's not for now. Jesus Christ was our perfect sacrifice, and we could do a long and involved study this morning about how Jesus was the fulfillment of all of those Old Testament sacrifices, and how today we don't have to drag a goat down the aisle of the church and cut its throat and burn its body and throw blood everywhere. And I'm frankly pretty glad about that. But if we had to do it, we'd bring a bull, we'd pull that bull down the middle aisle, and we'd bring it down front here, and I'd cut its throat, and it'd be a big bloody mess, and we'd set fire to that thing, and we'd have a barbecue. We'd do it every Sunday morning if that was the rule for this day. But that's not the rule for this day. That was the rule for back then in that day. And you could do this. You could kill a cow every day of your life. You could kill a cow and butcher a goat before God. But God's already said, I don't want that anymore. That's not what we're doing anymore. That was for then. But this is now. You understand what I'm telling you? What we're talking about here is dispensationalism. We're talking about periods of time where man's approach to God was defined by certain behaviors. And for those people in that moment, it was absolutely necessary for them to build the boat or to circumcise or to kill the animal or to offer up the burnt offering or whatever else they had to do. But all of those things came to an end in Acts chapter 2 when the church is born. And now there's a new day and a new dispensation, and the church is in the earth now. And now you've got to find out, what is the sacrifice today? What is the ark today? What is the way today? And the way you do that is you go to the book of Acts and you open it up in Acts chapter 2, and you find out that Peter opened up the church age by preaching a simple message. He preached that Jesus was buried and that he rose again on the third day after having been crucified, and that he rose into heaven. And now he said, these are the things you have to do to be right with God. You've got to repent. That means turn around, stop living the way you are, and begin to make your way to God. Then he said, you must be baptized in Jesus' name for the cleansing of your sins. Now, you didn't misunderstand me. I told you exactly right. I didn't say sprinkle, because nobody in the Bible was sprinkled. I didn't say baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, because nobody in the Bible was baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Everybody in the Bible that was baptized in the book of Acts was baptized in the name of Jesus. And so we do it exactly like they did it then. If we were killing a bull, we'd find out how to do it exactly like that. If we were building a boat, we'd find out exactly how Noah built the boat. But friend, we're baptizing. So we go to the Word of God and we find find out how Peter baptized them. He took them. He plunged them beneath the water. He invoked the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And when they come up out of the water, they're just like the new world coming up out of the water in the day of Noah. Old things washed away. Everything's made new. The Old Testament typology is fulfilled. When you go down in the water, you're like a man being buried. Romans chapter 6 said you are buried with him in baptism. And you're raised up together with him in newness of life. And so you're doing that in obedience to the word of God. You're doing it to fulfill all manner of typology. But it is in baptism where the blood is applied to your life and your sins are washed away. Acts chapter 2 verse 38. For the remission of your sins. Acts 22 and verse 16. Washes your sins away. 1 Peter 3 20 and 21. Baptism saves you. It saves you by washing your sins away. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. If you love the message and you appreciate what God has done, clap your hands unto him and bless his name this morning. And so we take the word of God and we open the word of God to find out how men and women came to God in the book of Acts, which is the beginning of the church age. The church age does not end until Jesus returns. He has not yet returned. Because you're going to know when he comes. Every eye is going to see him. You're going to know when he comes, because there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and read the 16th chapter of Revelation. There's going to be plagues everywhere. And I mean, it's going to be an exciting time, but also the Holy Ghost is going to be poured out upon all flesh. It's going to be a great day of revival. Don't worry about it. Jesus said, if somebody said he's come, he's over here, don't go. Oh, he's come. He's out in the desert over here. He said, don't go. He said, when I come, everybody's going to know it. Every eye is going to behold it. I want you to know there's not going to be a secret snatching away. When he comes, it's going to be with the trumpet of God, with the shout of the voice of the archangel of God. Everybody's going to know it when he comes. But until he comes, you have to be able to identify in the word of God how they came to God in the church. This is very easy. Acts chapter 2, repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 8, they were baptized in Jesus' name. They received the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10 at the house of Cornelius, they were baptized in Jesus' name. They received the Holy Ghost. It's a trend. It's a pattern. It's the standard operating procedure of the church. It's not a hard thing. You say, well, where did all this other stuff come from about believe in your heart? Well, that doesn't start until like 1,500 years later. Where does the business about being baptized in the titles, Father, Son, Holy Ghost come from? Well, you can find the phrase in Matthew 28, 19, but nobody in the Bible was baptized that way. And every scholar I've ever read about will guarantee you that the original formula for baptism was in the name of Jesus. The Catholic Encyclopedia will tell you that the Catholics changed baptism from in the name of Jesus to in the titles, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The Encyclopedia Britannica, you know, we used to have these big old sets of books on our shelves with gold embossed lettering on the back and all this. And people would come door to door and sell those to you. Those were called encyclopedias. I know you young people don't know anything about all of that, because the very first day computers began to be available in homes, encyclopedia salesmen went to the bars and lost their minds, because it was over in one day. Anyway, Encyclopedia Britannica was one of those companies that sold encyclopedias. And Encyclopedia Britannica, well-respected, very well-researched, will tell you, if you could find one, in your grandfather's attic, that baptism was changed from in the name of Jesus to the titles, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I recently, on a Wednesday night, went through citations from a research that was done by a young man who is English by birth and British by birth. And In that book, there are probably 75 references to scholars from all over the world today and throughout history, all the way back to the church age. And all of them cite the fact that the original baptism was in the name of Jesus. And that later on, it was changed. Later on, it was, that's a constant theme in the literature. Well, my question for you today, this is not one of the original simple questions, but this is a pretty simple question. Who has the right to change the mandate of God and the Word of God? And I'm just going to tell you, nobody has the right to change the mandate of God. The point being is that when I found out, when they told me, when they began to ask me, how were you baptized? And I began to look in the Word of God and I couldn't find anybody. You know, it's a comforting thing to be able to look in the Word of God and find your experience. I got it just like they got it. Look, I got baptized just like they got baptized. Look, I'm living just like they said to live right here. Look, this is the way we behave. This is the way we live. This is... It's a good thing because you're going to be judged by the Word of God. We stand upon the Word of God. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but His Word is never going to pass away. And so it's a wonderful thing, a comforting thing, a powerful position to be standing rooted in the Word of God. And so when they began to ask me that, I started looking at the Word of God. And the people that were witnessing to me were brand new. They didn't know much. They weren't theologians. They weren't seminary graduates. They had never gone to a Bible school or a Bible college or anything. They were just showing me what the Word of God said. It's kind of like old Elder Wynn Dross that went to Colombia. And in the great revival in Colombia, he couldn't speak Spanish well enough for them to understand him. And so he would play his accordion and he would sing and the Holy Ghost would move. And people would be so enthralled by it. He would take the Spanish Bible and show them chapter and verse and let them read. And when they read, they would see the message of the gospel. And he would take them and baptize them in Jesus' name. And then he would pray for them and they would receive the Holy Ghost. And he never could speak a lick of Spanish to him. But it was amazing because all he had to do was show him what the Bible said. I'm telling you, all you got to do is show him what the Bible says. If you're witnessing to something, just show them what the Bible says. You don't have to be a brilliant person. You don't have to have a special degree. Just show them what the Bible says. Just tell them what God has already told you. Just don't ignore their need. You're the bridge work. You're the only way they're going to make their way into a relationship with God. Well, praise God. And so I wanted to be baptized. I wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name because I couldn't find anybody in the Bible. When I was 10 years old, I was baptized in the titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But nobody in the Bible was baptized that way. And when I went to my Baptist pastor and I asked him about it, I said, could you reconcile for me Acts 2:38 and Matthew 28:19? Could you reconcile for me when Jesus says be baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? And then Peter says baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ. Could you tell me how that works? And he closed his Bible and he said, I will take Jesus's word over Peter's word. Well, that sounds pretty good. But what you're taking is you're taking Matthew's word of what Jesus said over Luke's word of what Peter said, and you're beginning to tell me that some parts of the Bible are more important or more have more veracity than other parts of the Bible, and you're undermining the whole biblical experience is what you're doing. He had no idea, but when he closed that Bible, he just convinced me that he didn't know anything about what he's talking about. When he closed that Bible, he convinced me because all those holy rollers I've been talking to, everything they did was in that Bible. Everything they said was in that Bible. They took me to chapter and verse for everything they said. I went straight out. We got together. It wasn't but a few days. We went down in the water in Jesus' name. It was midnight. It was about 12 o'clock in the morning. But they opened up that church. And when I got there, I was amazed. There were these little ladies walking around that place praying. And they were at midnight. I just want you to know, it was a whole different church construct than what I was used to. Because nobody but burglars were at our church at midnight. Nobody was there at midnight. I tell you, hardly anybody was there on Wednesday night. I was there on Sunday night. I was there on Wednesday night. I was an RA. I was there for everything because my mama believed I needed to be there for everything. And so I was. But when they showed me in the Word of God how everybody was baptized, I couldn't refute it. I couldn't resist it. I had to go down in the water. And I just want to ask you a couple of simple questions today. First question is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And don't bother telling me, well, yeah, I have the Holy Ghost. Because my question is, have you spoken in tongues? And you got to understand, we're in a biblical construct this morning. And everybody that got the Holy Ghost in the Bible spoke in other tongues. Nobody just believed in their heart and had the Holy Ghost. Nobody shook the preacher's hand and had the Holy Ghost. Silently, mysteriously, abstractly. When you got the Holy Ghost in the biblical frame, you got the Holy Ghost and fire. When you get the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, is there a witness in this house today that when you get the Holy Ghost, it changes your life? That you know you got it and everybody around you will know that you got it? My God, it's the truth. So the question today is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And the answer, if you have not, then you need to come and receive that today. Praise God. The second simple question is, have you been baptized in Jesus' name? How were you baptized? And if you tell me the Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism, I'm going to tell you, you have a Catholic baptism. You say, you can't say that. Well, I can. They invented it. It started in 325 with the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope and Mariology and all kinds of other superstitious things that they do. That didn't exist in the biblical frame in the first century. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so the question would be, how were you baptized? The only biblical baptism, is in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's for the remission of your sins. Praise God. In Acts chapter 2, when they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues. In Acts chapter 10, when they got the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues. In Acts chapter 19, when Paul laid his hands on them, they spoke in tongues. Guess what's going to happen to you when you get the Holy Ghost? You might say, well, I don't know how to speak in tongues. You don't have to know anything. All you have to do is say yes to God. All you've got to do is lift your hands. If you did it right where you're seated right now, just lift your hands and begin to love Him and praise Him. Having repented, you really want to live for God. You really want to serve God. If you just begin to lift up your hands and love Him right where you are, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost right there in the middle of the seats. I know that's true because that's where I got the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, praise the Lord. When you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to speak in a language you never learned in school. It is the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 28. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest and this is the refreshing. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand together this morning. Two simple questions. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Praise God. Is Sister Bonnie here? She's coming. Do you guys know? Have you received the power? Have you received the power? Pardon us while we pray. Have you received the power since you believe? The Holy Ghost power since you believe. That's Sister Bonnie. I know you know that. Now see, that's the question for you. Have you received the power? Hey! Everybody with the Holy Ghost in the house, I want you to lift your hands and begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Everybody in the house that would like to be baptized in Jesus' name or receive the Holy Ghost, I want you to come down this morning. I want you to come down to this altar right now. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. And God will wash every sin away. Come on, church, just pray. If somebody's standing by you that needs the Holy Ghost, help them to come on down to this altar this morning. Hey! Somebody. Come on, somebody. If it's been a long time since you talked in tongues, you need to come down to this altar right now. If it's been a long time since you've had an experience in the Holy Ghost, you need to come on right now.
Have you received the power since you believe?
Come on, I need some worshipers in the house. I need somebody to get you get your worship on this morning.
Since you believe, see the Holy Ghost power. Since you believe,
have you received the power?
Since you believe,
have you received the power?
Since you believe,
have you received the power?
Since you believe,
receive
the Holy Ghost power. Since you believe,
have you received the power?
Come on down, let's have a celebration then. Come on and let's worship God together this morning.
Have you received the power?
Since you believe,
receive the Holy Ghost power.
Since you believe,
have you received the power?
Since you believe,
have you received the power?
Since you believe,
have you received the power?
Since you believe, since you believe,
have you received the power?
Since you believe,
have you received the power?
Since you believe,
receive the Holy Ghost power.
Since you believe,
have you received the power?
Since you believe,
have you received the power?
Since you believe,
have you received the power?
Since you believe,
receive the Holy Ghost power.
Since you believe,
have you received the power?
Since you believe,
come on, don't be shy. We need some worshipers. We need some dancers. We need some praisers down in this altar.
Since you believe,
receive the Holy Ghost power.
Since you believe,
have you received the power?
Since you believe,
have you received the power?
Since you believe,
have you received the power?
Since you believe,
see the Holy Ghost power.
Since you believe,
praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands unto Him and bless His name. Praise God. I want you to shake somebody's hand by you this morning and tell them, I got the Holy Ghost just like the Bible says. I talked in tongues. And I went down in the water in Jesus' name. Hey, tell them that washed all my sins away. Come on. Anybody glad to have all of your sins washed away? Are you glad that their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more? Praise God. Praise God. Now, I want you to turn to somebody by you, lay your hands on them, and I want you to let that Holy Ghost just come unloosed here. I want you to pray for somebody, an anointed, apostolic, Holy Ghost-filled time of prayer. Let that Holy Ghost flow from vessel to vessel. It's not enough just to have it. You got to use it. Come on, let it flow. Let it flow.
Have you received the power?
Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. What a good God. What a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. Be a blessing, strength to those around you. We'll have church tonight, 6 o'clock for prayer over in the other building, and a 6:30 apostolic service. God bless. No choir. The mime group is presenting something.
Things to shame the wise. You are.